Issues, Etc. regular guest, Pastor Heath Curtis, is author of our Book of the Month for November, Five Things You Can Do to Live a Jesus-Centered Life. You can browse before you buy at issuesetc.org, or you can purchase Five Things You Can Do to Live a Jesus-Centered Life by calling Concordia Publishing House 1-800-325-3040, 1-800-325-3040. The Issues, Etc. Book of the Month for November, Five Things You Can Do to Live a Jesus-Centered Life.
No matter what we choose to believe, there's no God who condones taking the life of an innocent human being.
Where I think we are in the culture, but also with religious institutions, is that people have stopped hating us, that is to say LGBT people, but they're not yet ready to celebrate us. That's the next big work to do.
Maybe it's something as simple as you whistle while you work.
Just whistle while you work.
Mega churches are a house of cards. Mega churches really are the primary example of what's wrong with evangelicalism, why it's so thin, so insubstantial, so unsatisfying.
Southern Illinois truck drivers, love issues, etc.
We have reviewed wedding sermons previously here on Issues, Etc. And, you know, one of the dangers that a pastor faces, one of the temptations that a preacher faces when given an occasion like a wedding, because weddings kind of take on a life of their own, the bride, the dress, the bridesmaids, the groomsmen, the pomp, the circumstance, the ceremony, all of those things, not to mention all of the other incidentals that go along with that celebration day of a wedding, kind of the typical American, very expensive, very overblown wedding, provides a lot of temptation to a preacher to kind of succumb to the mood of the day and to talk generally about marriage, or worse yet, to talk glowingly about the bride and the groom and about their future life together, and to forget what his job is, to forget that he is there to preach Christ and him crucified, to rightly divide God's word according to law and gospel, to condemn sinners and to comfort the same sinners with the perfect obedience, the life, the death, and the resurrection of Jesus Christ. To take the cross and put it right there in the front before everyone's eyes, including the brides and the grooms. Greetings and welcome to Issues, Etc. We're coming to you live from the studios of Lutheran Public Radio in Collinsville, Illinois. I'm Todd Wilkin. Thanks for tuning us in. We're going to be reviewing a sermon that was preached at a wedding very recently. It was preached by Pastor David Peterson. You know him as a regular guest here on the program. It was a wedding Friday. The church where I actually serve as assistant pastor, one of my parishioners, Adrian Dorr and Chris Hines, at Trinity Lutheran Church in Millstadt, Illinois. I heard the sermon firsthand. I thought to myself several times in the course of this sermon, now I'm only 50 years old, but I thought, best one I've ever heard. And I wanted you to hear it as well, so we're going to review it here in the first half hour of Issues, Etc. on this Wednesday afternoon, November the 13th. A little bit later, Pastor Paul McCain will join us. We'll do part five of our series with him on the Formula of Concord, coming to a very important subject that Lutherans are often accused of not discussing. We will discuss it, good works, in about a half hour here on Issues, Etc. Then we'll round everything off talking about those atheist megachurches. Atheists getting together for whatever atheists do. And they're called atheist megachurches in the press. What are they really, and why would atheists feel the need to do this? Craig Parton, United States Director of the International Academy of Apologetics, Evangelism, and Human Rights, will be our guest. You can join us for the next 2 hours, 1-877-623-6943, 877-623-MYIE. Send us an email, talkback at issuesetc.org, or a tweet at issuesetc. Now, why would I say that a pastor needs to remember, even on a day like the celebration of a wedding, that Jesus needs to be preached in his saving work to sinners, to all sinners who are assembled there for a wedding? Why would I say that? Because a lot of people would say, leave Jesus out of it. This is the bride's day. This is the groom's day. The parents will tell you what they want to hear. The bride and groom will tell you what they want to hear. They're telling everybody else what they want to do, how they want it. It's their day. Come on. Well, whenever a preacher is asked to preach, he really has no choice in this matter. In fact, To follow St. Paul's example, where he writes in 1 Corinthians 2, I determined to know nothing among you, not anything among you, save Jesus Christ and Him crucified. You know, that applies on Sundays. It applies whenever a preacher is asked to open his mouth and to preach a sermon. If you want your pastor to talk nicely about you, have him stand up and do the toast at the reception. That would be fine. But when you ask him to give you God's blessing, the blessing of God's word on your wedding day, you better expect to hear about Jesus Christ and Him crucified. Now, every sermon that we do here, we use the same simple diagnostic with three parts. How often is Jesus mentioned? That's just keeping a simple running tally of how often the preacher sees fit to mention Jesus explicitly, not God, not the deity, not the big man upstairs, but Jesus, our Savior. So keep a simple running tally of how often you hear that Jesus mentioned. If He's mentioned many times, then part two of the diagnostic comes into play. Is Jesus the subject of the verbs? That is Jesus the one who is doing the verbs, running the verbs in this sermon? Is He the one who is doing the doing, as Dr. Norman Nagel used to say? And if Jesus is both mentioned often and is the subject of the verbs, then you only have one other thing to ask and answer, and that is, what are those verbs? Now, here a preacher could be tempted to substitute some verbs applying to Jesus for the bride and the groom that the Bible doesn't use. You know, Jesus is there to strengthen your love, to give you an example of how to live together, to deepen your intimacy. Some preachers, if they're a little risky, like many preachers are today, to make the wedding bed more passionate, to increase your sex life, to make it better. You know, all those things might seem to apply, but the verbs that Scripture assigns to Jesus that really matter are the words like, verbs like suffering, dying, rising again, being your substitute, living a life of perfect obedience where you couldn't. Listen for those verbs. So how often is Jesus mentioned? Is He the subject of the verbs? And what are those verbs? So, with that said, with our diagnostic in place, let's review this sermon preached by Pastor David Peterson, a regular guest here on the program, preached Friday at the wedding of Adrian Dorr and Chris Hines at Trinity Lutheran Church in Millstadt, Illinois. The text of it is actually the parable of the 10 virgins. You probably know that one from Matthew chapter 25, the first 13 verses. And I believe that Pastor Peterson chose this because it was actually part of the lectionary. This was not a special wedding text, although it seems to have some application. Let's listen to the sermon.
In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
The parable of the 10 virgins exposes the dark side of the gospel. Not everyone is saved. 5 virgins shut themselves out. They go their own way, attempt to buy their way in, and then they cannot understand what has happened. The Lord says to them, as harsh of words as are ever in, or as are ever uttered in all of Holy Scripture, "I do not know you." Of course, that is not why the text was chosen today. The text was chosen today to give us an excuse to sing the hymn. Still, whatever the reason, no matter how beautiful and profound this particular chorale is, not everyone goes to heaven. 5 out of 10, 5 who thought they were going in, who had the outward marks of virginity, are shut out. And we are solemnly warned, "Watch therefore, for you know neither the day nor the hour when the Son of Man comes." From a Lutheran perspective, this warning is always in order. We do not know the hour of our Lord's return. We do not know if we will make it to the reception, or even to the vows, or to the end of this sentence. No one knows when the Lord will come, but the wise know He is coming. And the Lord interrupts weddings as surely as He interrupts funerals. So don't get drunk tonight. Don't gossip and carry on in a shameful way at this party. Guard your heart. Stay free of sin. Watch and stay alert, because the Son of Man surely comes. And 5 virgins who think they will get in, who have all of the outward marks of the church, will not. We might issue a similar warning with regards to holy marriage, but I personally don't think I can stand to hear another wedding sermon quoting the statistics of divorce. For one thing, I'm not even sure they are accurate. But in any case, it's too late now. So why scare and browbeat you with statistics? I'd rather scare and browbeat you with eschatological warnings. And if I did quote divorce statistics to you, you would not believe me. You'd nod along and think that you agreed, and that you were very aware and alert and worldly wise as to the dangers that married couples face. But in fact, you would not be here if you did not expect to beat the odds. You might be naive and even foolhardy in this, but that doesn't mean that you're wrong. Because there is a promise in holy marriage, a promise that makes Christians bold and confident. 5 virgins were shut out, but the other 5, who also fell asleep, went in by grace. They had failed in their duties. They were no better than the other virgins. But they believed that the bridegroom was coming. This is not a vain hope, the hope for holy marriage. For the undeserved mercy won by Christ's death gives power to Christians to live Christian lives. And that includes living together as husband and wife, a most Christian way to live.
Let's take a break. When we come back, we'll hear more of this sermon preached by Pastor David Peterson Friday at the wedding of Adrian Dorr and Chris Hines, Trinity Lutheran Church in Millstadt, Illinois. Our sermon review on this Wednesday afternoon, November the 13th. Remember, we're listening for how often Jesus is mentioned. Is Jesus the subject of the verbs? And what are those verbs? You know, when you are done listening to the sermon, you can also step back and ask yourself another question, very important one. What problem did the preacher diagnose in me? What's my problem? And what remedy did he provide for me for that problem? Is my problem sin, for which there's only one answer? The sinless Savior, Jesus? We'll be right back. Dr. Lawrence White of Our Savior Lutheran Church in Houston, Texas, on why they support Issues Etc.
Our Savior in Houston has deliberately included Issues Etc. as a significant part of our outreach ministry, and we regard every dollar that we've committed to this ministry as a dollar well spent in the extension of the kingdom of God, the proclamation of the Lord Jesus Christ, the demonstration that our Lord Jesus is not irrelevant to what's going on in the culture, that our historic biblical Lutheran theology is more urgently needed at this moment than at any other moment in history, and Issues Etc. is in the forefront of that movement.
To find out how your congregation can support this worldwide outreach, visit the support page of our website, issuesetc.org, and look for the Issues Etc. 300.
It's not about you. It's about Jesus for you. You're listening to Issues Etc.
Come and experience firsthand by sitting down in classes and actually hearing professors, coming to chapel, which is always the high point of the day, to hear the Word of God and to lift our voices in song.
Issues Etc. regular guest Dr. Paul Grimm on why you should consider visiting Concordia Theological Seminary in Fort Wayne, Indiana.
Spend time talking to professors. I mean, there's not a professor here who will not be willing to take time, whether it's after chapel during the coffee hour or just to come into one's study and sit down and talk for a while, to answer questions, to help them to get a sense of, A, do they want to be a pastor or a deaconess, and then B, is this the right place, and well, maybe C would be the question, is now the right time for them to make that decision?
If you've contemplated the vocation of pastor or deaconess, contact Concordia Theological Seminary, Fort Wayne, Indiana, 1-800-481-2155, 800-481-2155, or send an email to admission@ctsfw.edu. Welcome back to Issues Etc. I'm Todd Wilkin. We're reviewing a sermon preached by Pastor David Peterson, a regular guest here on the program. He preached it Friday at the wedding of Adrian Dorr and Chris Hines at Trinity Lutheran Church in Millstadt, Illinois. In about 10 minutes, We're going to have part five of our series on the formula of Concord with Pastor Paul McCain today. We'll talk about a very important subject of good works. Now, we're barely into our series with Pastor Heath Curtis, who's the author of our Issues Etc., Book of the Month for November, Five Things You Can Do to Live a Jesus-Centered Life. And the title might lead you to believe it's just another how-to book, which it isn't. It really is a book that points you again and again and again back to where Jesus is found and promised to be for you with the forgiveness of sins, where he's promised to be for you in that faithful preaching of law and gospel from his word. And that's the great strength of this book, Five Things You Can Do to Live a Jesus-Centered Life by Pastor Heath Curtis. Find out more about it at our website, issuesetc.org, or call Concordia Publishing House and order it and read it for yourself. 1-800-325-3040, 1-800-325-3040. Well, we left the sermon off. He was talking about the text, which is a good place for the pastors and preachers to begin, and how this is a text of both judgment and grace, that the virgins who enter the wedding hall with the bridegroom enter solely by God's grace and mercy.
The Lord God instituted holy marriage even before our rebellion, before any virgins fell asleep in their watches, or any synodical bureaucrats learned to look the other way, or any parish pastors found it convenient to not realize that someone was a member of the ELCA at the communion rail, or before any dairy farmer thought that milking was more important than Sunday morning worship. This is how God intended us to live on earth, in the garden, as husband and wife, father and mother. Until this was finished, until Eve was called forth out of Adam, creation was incomplete and it was not good. That's what Moses records in Genesis 2. It was not good. Genesis 2 records the creation that took place on the sixth day. It's maybe a little confusing because it seems like it's over at the end of Genesis 1 and then we go back to day 6. Well, it was not good until Eve was called forth at the end of that day. Before Eve's creation, it was incomplete because Adam was alone. Before Adam could live as God intended, Adam had to fall asleep and have something taken out of him and made into her. And then, only then, when they were together, then it was good. And the sixth day could come to a close. All of the brokenness that we now endure, singleness and barrenness and divorce, perversions and abuse and homosexuality, all of these things are because of our rebellion, our insistence upon our own way. And that threatens marriage as surely as it threatens souls. But those threats and that real sadness do not undo what God has done. Marriage is good. It is what God intended for this earth and for us. But there is more. For even as marriage was instituted before the fall, so also it has been blessed and reconstructed in the redemption, in a way that was foreshown in the creation of Eve. For when God's wrath had been appeased, when the serpent's head was crushed on the sixth day of the week, the Lord God caused a deep sleep to fall upon Jesus on the cross. His body and his soul were rent asunder. He was dead, in our parlance. Hell had done its worst, and it was spent. It had nothing left. It could do no more. There was no one left to accuse us. Satan had no arrows left. He had spent himself completely. Christ's soul went to his Father. His body was about to go to the ground. The devil would not get either, body or soul. But before that, before his body is placed into the ground, the Lord God opened up his side with the centurion's spear. Water and blood flowed from his ribs. And then the Lord God closed up the flesh and put him to bed in the earth. From the ribs, water, and blood which the Lord God had taken from the new Adam, our Lord Jesus Christ, he made a woman. She is made of water and blood from the side of Christ, and she was made for him. The devil could not have her. Then the Lord God woke Christ from his sleep. His body and his soul were rejoined, a man alive. And God gave the woman made of water and blood to the man, Jesus Christ. And that man said, "This is now bone of my bones and flesh of my flesh. She shall be called Christian, for she was taken out of Christ." The man Jesus, our new Adam, left his father, came to earth, and was forsaken. And in that leaving, that forsaking, he has cleaved unto his wife, unto us, and joins himself to us. He has made our cause his cause. We are his people. Again and again in the Holy Communion, he is one flesh with us. He is to us everything that Adam should have been to Eve and more. He has endured and overcome temptation in our place. He has suffered our shame and punishment. He has brought us back from the slavery of prostitution at a cost far higher than 15 shekels and a quantity of barley, with nothing less, in fact, than all that he had right down to his last breath. Despite what we have done, he still calls us by his own name. He will not be ashamed of us. He loves us. And that is why in heaven, the sons of the resurrection are neither given nor taken in marriage. The saints of God are the bride of Christ, taken from his side, joined to his flesh, in a union that no man can put asunder. All earthly marriages are meant to be a foreshowing of what God has done in Christ and what will be given to us fully in heaven. And thus, earthly marriages cannot endure. The shadow must cease when the substance comes. The redemption of Jesus Christ does not put us back into the Garden of Eden for a second chance, but it elevates us to the right hand of the Father as the very bride of and one flesh with Christ himself. Now, some earthly brides find this troubling. It's not quite as romantic as the Mormon idea of heavenly intercourse birthing new planets. Earthly brides can be so in love with what God has given here on earth that they dread letting it go. And the idea of no marriage in heaven can be even disturbing. There are a number of problems here. The first, of course, is loving creation more than the Creator, and not trusting that God actually has better things in store for us than we can imagine. But so also, I think that part of the problem is that when it comes to heaven, we've been given too much oatmeal and told it was meat. We've come up with this very unbiblical idea that heaven is going to strip us of our personalities and our memories. The five virgins who get in the parable remembered how they got in by grace. They didn't even forget that they'd fallen asleep. That was key to who they were, who God was for them, how his mercy acted itself out on and upon them. So it is also that Adam remembers how Eve was given to him as a gift and completed him. David remembers how he not only got to keep the wife that he had stolen, but that the union is even blessed with the gift of Solomon. So you won't be married in heaven. This isn't a Mormon ceremony. But neither will you forget that you were married on earth, that God joined you together and used you for good and was good to you through this Christological gift. Because this is not some small moment or detail in your life that won't matter in heaven, if there even is such a thing. It seems as though if our hairs matter in heaven, then all the details matter. But certainly this matters. It matters in heaven to God now, and it matters to you now, and it will matter to all of the saints for eternity. Because marriage is a defining reality. Adam and Eve have not forgotten they were married. Bathsheba hasn't forgotten either, Uriah or David. But they rejoice in what God has done and how God worked in and on them through means while they were on earth, even working evil things together for good. Now, what will you remember? I don't know, because it hasn't unfolded yet. But we know this much. You have been redeemed by Christ, not just for the future, but already now. And he cares deeply, deliberately, about the details of your life and about this holy marriage, which he himself causes and blesses. And the same mercy which sent our Lord Jesus Christ to the cross to redeem you is the same mercy that has given you to one another. You belong to him as you belong to one another. And that's worth waking up for. It may not quite be the return of our Lord in glory, but it certainly is related. And it is worthy of a thrilling cry and rejoicing. In Jesus' name.
Amen.
That's a sermon preached by Pastor David Peterson Friday at the wedding of Adrian Dorr and Chris Hines at Trinity Lutheran Church in Millstadt, Illinois. It's nice to see Christ standing there, front and center, on a day when, for so many, Christ is given the day off, and the pastor preaches something other than Christ crucified for sinners. I like that line. The same mercy that sent Jesus to the cross to redeem you has given you to one another. A great way to remember how two sinners stand together under the same mercy, under the same cross of Jesus Christ, and are joined together by that same Jesus for this life, to live in that forgiveness, that mercy, to live under that cross. When we come back, it's part five of our series on the formula of Concord. Today we're going to talk about something that Lutherans are often accused of not talking about, good works. Pastor Paul McCain will be our guest.
If Issues Etc. refuses to scratch your itchy ears and scratches your old scabs instead, and you love them for it, then Redeemer Lutheran Church is the church in Fort Wayne for you. The only real difference between Issues Etc. and Redeemer is that Todd and Jeff only talk about Jesus. We talk about Jesus, but we also put him into people's mouths. We drive off demons with water. We are the church, and yes, we serve Jell-O in the basement.
Would you like to learn about the Reformation theology you hear on Issues Etc.? We'll send you a pamphlet of Luther's Small Catechism for free. It contains the biblical teachings on the Ten Commandments, the Apostles' Creed, the Lord's Prayer, baptism, the Lord's Supper, and Confession and Absolution. Order your free copy of Luther's Small Catechism today. Just send your name and mailing address to talkback@issuesetc.org.
Does your church need a backup organist? The Virtual Organist service from Church Music Solutions is the next best thing to an on-site organist. Send us your musical choices, including liturgy and hymns. We'll assemble your service and send it to an iPad that controls your church's organ on Sunday. The result is genuine organ leadership on your instrument with your selections when you need it. See our videos on YouTube or visit our website at churchmusicsolutions.com.
Christ at the Center, the Justification of the Ungodly, a Contemporary View of Faith and Reason, the Holy Spirit in Christ. These are just some of the almost 30 essays included in Propter Christum, Christ at the Center. It's a new book of essays in honor of Issues Etc. regular guest, Pastor Daniel Preuss. Find out more and purchase Propter Christum at shop.logia.org. Propter Christum, Christ at the Center, shop.logia.org.
Evangelical and Catholic. You're listening to Issues Etc.
Arch Fitness of Greater St. Louis has a new fall schedule for adult boot camps and sports performance training classes. There's plenty of flexibility with workouts on weekday mornings, weekday evenings, or even Saturday mornings. Arch Fitness has a new, bigger location at 127 West MacArthur Drive in Cottage Hills, Illinois. For more information, check out the Facebook fan page for Arch Fitness or call Kevin Reisick at 618-670-6952. Arch Fitness of Cottage Hills, Illinois.
For 20 years, we've lifted our voices and instruments to the hymns of Stephen Starkey. Now, CPH has the first ever CD collection of Pastor Starkey's works titled, We Praise You and Acknowledge You, O God. This 12-track CD includes nearly an hour of music from the most beloved Lutheran hymn writer of our time. Order now. Use promotion code URA. We Praise You and Acknowledge You, O God is only $15.99. CPH.org.